Escape pod ready.
No, escape pod.
I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1969, it was a dress rehearsal for the moon.
Booster engineer says the Saturn is go.
I'm right on time.
Roger, copy.
Fuel lead must start. We're getting acceleration.
Roger.
Light on.
Roger.
We're burning.
Roger, burning.
We're on the way.
Roger, we confirm.
26,400 feet per second velocity now.
Starting to pick up the yaw just as programmed.
Roger.
Velocity 27,500 feet per second.
What a way to watch a sunrise. Roger. All at 10, the Houston coming up. Trajectory looks great.
Well, right into the sun here.
Roger.
Present altitude 123 miles.
Howdy, fan go. The S4B's looking great.
Roger, Houston, 10 here looks good on board. Okay, we're getting a little high frequency.
Say again?
We're getting some small, right?
Understand, the small yaw oscillations, 10?
Negative high frequency vibrations.
I saw. If we still have you go, 10.
Seco!
Roger, Seco. That's beautiful. And 10 in the blind, everything we got looks nominal. You're on your way.
This is Apollo Control. Apollo 10 on the way to the moon.
Apollo 10 lifted off on a mission to do everything but land on the moon, with its lunar module conducting a test flight within 8 miles of the lunar surface. Satisfied that a full landing mission could be flown safely, NASA would announce that the next Apollo flight would take American astronauts to the surface of the moon. In 1972, after 6 years of drawing up mission plans and battling Congress for the money needed to carry them out, NASA was given authorization to begin planning the Mariner Jupiter Saturn 77 mission, taking advantage of an alignment of the outer planets that only happens every 175 years. The mission would visit Jupiter and Saturn for the cost of one launch. Mission planners hoped that at least one of the two spacecraft would survive long enough to take the first close-up pictures of Uranus and Neptune. Mariner Jupiter Saturn 77 would be launched in 1977 after being renamed Voyager 1 and 2. In 1977, the United States and Soviet Union renewed the Space Cooperation Agreement that had resulted in the 1975 Apollo-Soyuz docking mission. But with the space shuttle still on the ground, and the Soviets wishing to remain secretive about the abilities of their Soyuz space stations, nothing came of the new pact. In 1980, after months of earthquakes and other precursory activity, Mount St. Helens blew its top, a massive eruption that wiped out all life in the surrounding countryside, including 57 people. And in 2005, the Hubble Space Telescope turned its giant eye toward Pluto, discovering two new moons, Nix and Hydra. Born today in 1897, filmmaker Frank Capra. Today in 1946, actor Andreas Katsoulis was born. He played the always eloquent Ambassador Jakar on Babylon 5.
But always it is the same voice. It is the voice of our ancestors speaking through us. And the voice of our inheritors waiting to be born. It is the small, still voice that says, we are one. No matter the blood, no matter the skin, no matter the world, no matter the star, we are one. No matter the pain, no matter the darkness, no matter the loss, no matter the fear, we are one. Here, gathered together in common cause, we agree to recognize this singular truth and this singular rule that we must be kind to one another.
Rick Wakeman of Yes was born in 1949. Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo was born in 1950. Novelist Diane Duane, who made several contributions to the Star Trek book series, was born in 1952. Actor Elisha Cook Jr. died in 1995. He appeared in Batman and the original Star Trek.
Is saving an innocent man's career a theatric? Now that I've got something human to talk about. Rights, sir. Human rights. The Bible. The Code of Hammurabi. And of Justinian. Magna Carta. The Constitution of the United States. Fundamental declarations of the Martian colonies. The statutes of Alpha 3. These documents all speak of rights. Rights of the accused to a trial by his peers. to be represented by counsel, the rights of cross-examination, but most importantly, the right to be confronted by the witnesses against him, a right to which my client has been denied. The most devastating witness against my client is not a human being, it's a machine. My client has the right to face his accuser. And if you do not grant him that right, you have brought us down to the level of the machine. Indeed, you have elevated that machine above us.
Elizabeth Montgomery of Bewitched fame died the same day in 1995. In 1994, a mysterious stranger arrived aboard Babylon 5 with an enigmatic question.
I'm not allowed to leave here until you've answered my question. What do you want?
This is a silly conversation.
Yes, it is. What do you want?
To be left alone.
Is that it? Is that really all, Ambassador?
You really want to know what I want? I want my people to reclaim their rightful place in the galaxy. I want to see the Centauri stretch forth their hand again and command the stars. I want a rebirth of glory, a renaissance of power. I want us to be what we used to be. I want it all back the way that it was. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Yes, it does.
It was the first appearance of Mr. Morden and the Shadows, kicking off a plotline that would intensify over the next three seasons of the series. And in 2005, the Star Wars saga was complete, at least for a while.
Anakin, deliver this report to the Chancellor. His reaction will give us a clue to his intentions.
Yes, Master.
I sense a plot to destroy the Jedi. The dark side of the Force surrounds the Chancellor.
If he does not give up his emergency powers after the destruction of Grievous, then he should be removed from office.
The Jedi Council would have to take control of the Senate in order to secure a peaceful transition.
To a dark place this line of thought will carry us. Great care we must take.
Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, opened in theaters worldwide, completing the story of the fall of Anakin Skywalker. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history, and you can pick up the Logbook's original books and DVDs, along with hundreds of other titles, in the Logbook.com store. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
I ask that my motion be granted. More than that, gentlemen, in the name of a humanity fading in the shadow of the machine, I demand it. I demand it!